this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? Doesn't winning feel so good? All 3 points against Spurs. Great game. How you feeling?
I mean, the good old smash and grab, sir. Against the top troll in all of England, Jose Mourinho comes back to Old Trafford. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Two to the good, Marcus Rashford, red hot Rashford, sir. How'd you feel about his performance?
Borderline unplayable. You know, had one of the best performances he's probably had as a Manchester United player. The whole team played well. You know, there's a lot of standouts. Scotty McSauce, the much criticized by you, Fred, actually had a hell of a game. Probably his best game as a Manchester United player. Up and down the field, we looked good. You know, there are spats of it where we looked like lights out. Would have liked us to get a couple more goals in the first half, but great performance all around. Good win. Deserved win, I think. It wasn't, you know, quite a smash and grab. I think we actually outplayed them. I'm feeling great. Ole's the wheel, baby.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, the flip-flop from the Ole out to the Ole in. Look, I would say this win is big. We were at home. Spurs, you know, that's a top team. They have the bump from Mourinho coming in. Everyone wrote us off in this match, even the odds makers. And the boys were able to do the job. Rashford on the left. Finally, he had the guts to start Greenwood in a big match at number 9. I do think some calls by Ole there. Ashley Young coming in at left back, shoring things up a little bit. The tactical side did work out, but Spurs did play poorly. I'm going to say they didn't. That wasn't. Our tactical plan was, you know, take Rashford out of that game. What do we produce really up front? It was kind of lackluster. Jesse Lingard, number 10, kind of not really getting too involved, sir.
So critical. So critical. We have a good performance, 3 points. I think they actually played really well. You know, Dan James looked good. Greenwood looked good. Jesse was okay, but masterclass in the midfield. Scotty McTominay and Fred just put a hell of a performance out. We outplayed them. We made them look bad. You know, you go out there and play a game like that, a team can't step up to the level of opposition. So I think you have to give credit to Manchester United because we actually did outplay a team for once. They got a wonder goal in them. But other than that, they didn't. You know, they had some long-range efforts, but didn't really test De Gea that much.
No, I Spurs, they went 30 minutes without a shot, I want to say, as well. Sun neutralized. Ali neutralized. Other than that,
great. What did Harry Kane do?
Harry Kane, nothing. I look, the lads played well, and when we got the lead 2-1, we were able to lock it down. I would say if anything came out of this match, the number one positive is we held on to a victory, right? For once, that 2-1, not 2-2, right?
Wasn't sure we would. You know, yeah. I was like, where's this goal coming? Waiting for that equalizer to come. You were expecting them to blow it, but I have to say Victor Lindelof had a great game shutting down Harry Kane. Ashley Young doing a job, you know, still the best left back in the league defensively, but good from the boys. Just like great performance, good for Ole. You know, the stadium was rocking. It might have been Ole out in the last poll we did, but it didn't seem to be at Old Trafford.
Sir, it was a hell of a day for me as well. Some personal news on the podcast. My son Jack actually got discharged from the NICU in San Francisco, so we got to bring him home for the first time. I was able to watch the first half in the hospital. My wife was yelling at me
basically, as wives do.
So I actually didn't get to watch the second half because I was actually driving my son home from the hospital, and that was a pretty nerve-wracking drive. But I did, when I did get home, I saw that we record the victory. If there's ever a reason to miss a second half of a match, I would say that's one of them. But he's doing well. He's already got his Manchester United gear, and he's celebrating the 3 points with a bottle as we speak, sir.
And you're getting lots of sleep, I'm sure.
I am extraordinarily. I'm 24 hours in, and there's tons of fathers out there on the podcast. I have not really slept, so if I sound sleepy or I misstep here, just know that I'm going to be sleep deprived for a little while. But the pod never sleeps, sir.
Pod never sleeps, especially with 3 points against Spurs. Big win. You know, first win in a while that was like this, that, you know, I think you could just say a good, great performance, probably the best performance since Chelsea in the opener, but we're all We're all hoping you get some more sleep tonight. We're all excited that baby Jack is at home finally and out of the hospital. And we got another Manchester United fan in the ranks.
Yeah, and he'll be on the pod soon enough, screaming in the background when the wife says, you know, I'm sick of looking after the kid while you do the podcast. So he'll be in the bunker soon enough, sir. And it'll be fun to get him all dressed up. And one, a father can always hope he'll wear the red for Manchester United, right?
Hey, sir, even at least as a fan. I'm not sure as a player, I wouldn't go that far, but you never know.
Hey, the odds are slim, but if Jesse Lingard can wear the jersey, you never know, right? You never know. Speaking of Jesse Lingard, let's get into the lineup. 4-2-3-1 from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer seems to be his go-to. David De Gea, number one in net. Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, and Ashley Young, back four. McTominay comes in from injury. The McSauce boost, sir. This is the difference maker, really. I even think Fred felt it a little bit. You had Fred next to him in the midfield, too. Dan James, Jesse Lingard in the hole at number 10. Marcus Rashford on the left, and Greenwood at number nine, sir. What did you feel about this lineup when you saw it?
So there's a lot to like when this lineup came up. I was excited that Greenwood got a start. I was excited that McTominay was back in the fold because I know how much he offers. A lot of pace, a lot of passion for the game. I think he just lifts the rest of his teammates. So I was looking forward to the match. I thought that, you know, I was glad to see that Ole didn't go for back three, looking to absorb pressure, really wanted to take it to Spurs. And I think we did from the jump. Looked like the team that wanted to go out and score goals.
Sir, let's jump in the first half. Like you said, we started hot, and we didn't have to wait too long. In the seventh minute,
goes past Sanchez, picked up here by Rashford. The shot comes in to near post and goes in. Question surely to be asked of Gazzaniga at his near post. But Marcus Rashford gives Manchester United a vital early lead against his former manager, Jose Mourinho.
Well, Sanchez thought he'd done enough. Kind of got his heel on it. Lingard did well down this side, and he just puts his heel on it and it bounces to Rashford, and this is what he does brilliantly well. He attacks the space, and we know he's got a ferocious shot, and if he can get it on his laces, watch out, goalkeeper. Gazzaniga done at his near post, just watched hardly any back lift, and fires it, and it's the bounce. It's the bounce that does the goal.
Is that Cristiano Ronaldo or is that Marcus Rashford? I'm telling you, every game week that passes, he's starting to look like our old number seven, but hell of a knuckleball from the young lad.
And nothing like that shot of Jose Mourinho right after Rashford nets it. Mourinho looking shook. In a game like this, scoring in the seventh minute, no matter how it happens, it's what you want. The momentum, Tottenham coming in confident. You take the wind out of their sails a little bit, and the crowd gets behind you at Old Trafford, sir.
It's surreal. It's actually very surreal to see Mourinho back at Old Trafford. It just, like, you know, gives you flashbacks, especially when he's not celebrating after we score. But
lads, it's Tottenham. Still Tottenham.
Get used to losing.
It's still Tottenham. Look, it's if you look at our two rosters, you got Son, Kane, Dele Alli. You even have Christian Eriksen on the bench compared to James, Jesse Lingard, Greenwood. I mean, Rashford on the left, clearly a killer. But those two squads, and we're able to outplay them at home. Now, the real question is consistency, sir. Why can't you do that against Aston Villa? Why can't we play Aston Villa off the pitch, but we look so much better at Spurs? And that is the question for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Can he get the lads up for the must-win matches away and at home?
He gets the lads up for the big games, right? The big six always seems to get a good performance out of the lads. They always look like they're ready to go, but it's the lowly teams that you have to be taking points from week in, week out, that we seem to not be able to get a result. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk
about the lowly team, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Sheffield Uniteds.
Sheffield number doing pretty well this year. 13th minute, James clatters into Mourinho, gets another knock on his head. Unfortunately, Dan James has had a few shots to the dome, and that concussion protocol is a riot of a joke.
Yeah, they aren't really following that, are they?
Probably is on concussion number four for the year. Just get back in. And look, you have to admire the kid. He's tough as nails. The Welshman, that's how they do it, sir. That's how they make him in Wales.
Make him strong.
18th minute, Rashford comes close from a free kick. Again, Rashford looking all over the pitch, best player. And when he shows up, I've seen this Rashford so many times. I've also seen him get lost in games. So again, young player showing the potential, but it's that consistency at the end of the day that he needs to show he can do this week in, week out, because he could have scored a hat trick in the first half here.
He could have, but he's been on a great run of form. He's looking confident, and I think he's playing his best football out on the left. So it was good to see Greenwood up front as your number nine and just let Rashford run riot with that speed, pace, trickery, everything that he offers going forward, and that knuckleball. Love that knuckleball.
Coming in off the left, sir. You're going to see that a lot more from Marcus Rashford. And then we're going to get to these chances. 25th minute, Rashford off the bar. Unreal hit. Have a go, son. 28th minute, Lingard curler goes wide, as suspected from Jesse. But those two chances that we missed should have been 2-0, sir. One of them should have been 2-0. We don't take that chance. And in the 39th minute, we've seen it before.
The Tongan hands it in. Shred with the header. And Azoria coming in at the back post. And here's Dele. And Dele equalizes. Dele Alli is in the form of his life right now under Jose Mourinho. And against his former club, Mourinho's Tottenham a level. He had some work to do there, Dele Alli. Questions could be asked of the United back line. But it's Manchester United 1, Tottenham 1.
Well, it's audacious. It's just lovely, beautiful skill. Look at the space he's in. Goes up in the air. He holds the defender off with a bit of skill. Fred it is. And then the touch.
Sir, who is that? Who did Dele Alli completely turn there and boss in the box there?
Fred it is.
Look. I can't blame Fred. He was back-to-back with Dele Alli, sublime touch, great finish. Went to VAR, could have argued it went off his arm, off the patch, definitely was redirected. I'm going to say, as the rules define, that's a handball. But because I don't want it, that's a good goal, sir. It's a good goal. You can't disallow that because it like glances off the shoulder arm area, but it's close, sir. Without that touch, he doesn't score.
No, I mean, I don't know. I for me, it's not a handball, but you're not going to overturn it.
Exactly.
An act of class out of Dele Alli. He's definitely got it in his locker. He's shown the ability to score a worldie or two. So I think unfair. You know, you United were the better team, and to give up that lead in the first half, we felt a little
unjust.
Should
have been 2-0, like, sure. Like those chances earlier, and then you miss them at the one half, and they usually come back to the other half.
You feel
sir.
Like you've seen the story before. When you go into the first half, I don't know how you felt, but I certainly felt like, oh, no, here we go again. You have the better performance, have our chances, opportunity to almost kill them off, and all of a sudden they're back in the game.
So what do you think Ole was telling the lads?
Keep playing the way you're playing in the first 40 minutes. It's basically just like you're the better team. You're running them all over the pitch. You're creating chances for fun. I mean, that first half, I haven't seen the United team create chances like that. I don't know how
since
they got
Chelsea.
So much space. I mean, they had even more space than Chelsea. Chelsea, we caught a lot on the break. We seem to have acres of space in this game. But I think Ole's telling the lads at halftime, go out there, kill them off. Do not let them get the lead. And when you get the lead, hold the line.
Sir, the lads were listening because coming out right after halftime, 47th minute.
Oh, lovely nutmeg against Aurier. Trying to go around the outside of Sissoko. Was he tripped? Yes! Penalty to Manchester United.
Love those words, sir. Penalty.
His crime, protesting his innocence, but I'd say the entirety of the Stretford end screamed in unison for that penalty kick. Let's take a look.
Well, he's chasing back because Aurier got beat. He takes it down the outside, puts his foot in about there. Does he clip him?
Sir, what do you think? Obviously, this is audio-based format, but, this is pretty,
It's penalty in me. That's not a Liverpool penalty, right? It was actually touch in the box. Beats Aurier like a dog. Just like unbelievable. And then
and Sissoko, it's light. I'm going to say, look.
It's enough.
It's penalty to Manchester United at home. That is what it is. But, I'll take it. I'm not going to deny it. Rashford steps.
Rashford for Manchester United, and he rolls it
cheeky,
delightfully into the back of the net. Two for Rashford, two for Manchester United, and they start the second half as they started the first.
Even with the Ronaldo flex, you see that move at the end? I mean, he is growing into some kind of form.
Absolutely love that celebration from Marcus Rashford, the confidence he hit that penalty kick with, too. That tells you a lot. He kind of just fluffed it, the keeper, the other way, sir. Easy as you like. Rashford, usually known for the top corner rocket, a la PSG, if you recall. But look, two goals for Marcus Rashford. He's got to keep up this form. Anthony Martial gets injured before this game, and turns out not to be a big deal. Martial made a glass, right?
Yeah, and Martial's had a lot of injury problems, but this is not even from the striker position. This is playing on the wing. Both times just like cutting in from the wing, offering a lot of attacking prowess and just, deft finish, goes up there cool as you like and buries the goal to give us the lead. And I think at this point, United were pretty much rocking.
Sir, you do make these agendas. So in the 52nd minute, I noticed that there's a great block from Fred in the box. You got to add that one there.
can't go unnoted.
For those Fred fans, 62nd minute, another great effort from Daniel James. And 68th, the same, another great chance for Dan James created by Rashford and Greenwood. We had some subs as Ole looked to short up Pereira for Greenwood. And then we had Shaw for Lingard as Ole went to the back five, kind of the last ditch, shore it up, don't concede, defend at all costs, get the 3 points. And we did, sir. That was a wrap. Manchester United come away with a great victory for all Manchester United fans, especially considering Jose Mourinho came back to Old Trafford. And he's been speaking so nice about Manchester United in the lead up to this, and he was so salty and such a troll at Manchester United. It's kind of something Mourinho wouldn't admit it, but I think he kind of regrets how he acted, how it all went down, because clearly if you could pick one of those jobs, the Manchester United job.
I want Manchester United job all day.
Exactly. And to get beat by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who then rubs the tops of, atop of Mourinho's head, that's like
cheeky as you like.
Banter level 100, sir. That was a riot.
No, and it's just good for Ole. He was, a lot of pressure was on him. You know, people were saying if he lost these two games, Spurs and City, the job was gone. Goes out there, tactically got it right. He got the boys up for it. They put in a great performance, outplayed Spurs, who, you know, everyone said was playing terribly, but under Mourinho hadn't lost a game. So good for him. You could tell how much it meant to him. You could tell how much it meant to the lads. Big win for us, and all of a sudden we're back in sixth place in the Premier League. What? How did that happen?
It's easy, sir. It's the league. It's an interesting year for the league. Let's jump into the match reaction. Possession, Manchester United 47% to Spurs 53. Shots on target, Manchester United 7 to Spurs 5. Manchester United are unbeaten their last 9 home matches in all competitions. They've won 5, drawn 4. The key is drawn 4 since losing 2-1 to Crystal Palace in August, sir. Already forgot about that match. That's how bad it was. Former Manchester United manager Jose Mourinho has won none of his last 5 away Premier League matches against the Red Devils, drawn 3, lost 2, failing to beat 4 different managers in that time, Ferguson, Moyes, Van Gaal, and Solskjaer. I mean, coming into Old Trafford is not surprising that any manager would have a tough time, but Jose Mourinho, it's not his number. And Marcus Rashford has been directly involved in 11 goals in his last 10 appearances in all competitions for Manchester United. 9 goals, 2 assists, sir. Red hot Rashford.
He's playing lights out football, playing it from the left with freedom, looks to be full of confidence, and hopefully he just gets more and more, you know, more and more swagger as he continues to grow into the player that we all know he has the potential to be.
Just a quick tactical summary of the match. Ole came out with the 4-2-3-1, but looking on the average positioning side of things, it was really a 4-2-4. Rashford and James keeping the width from an attacking perspective. Greenwood actually dropping down like a false nine, and Lingard kind of shifting down the left-hand side with Rashford. So on those goals, you did see Lingard out on the left. It looks like Ole wanted to get those four up front with a lot of attacking freedom and encourage Rashford to get in. The most passes on the field, sir, was from your boy, Fred. He was also most central. Him and McTominay doing a job. Fred just a little forward of McTominay in that two-man midfield, which is exactly like what you would like to see. Great combinations with Greenwood, Lingard, Rashford, and Ashley Young, sir. That looks to be what we want out of Fred, right?
I mean, finally made some good forward passes, right? Which I think is one of the criticisms, is that you had a lot of backward, sideways passes out of the Brazilian, and he actually was putting in some good balls, spraying it around out wide, just looked like he was, you know, growing in confidence. I think McTominay playing with him versus a Pereira gave him a lot more of a firm ground to stand on. And he just looked, started to look like the player that we spent £50 million on, right? Best performance by far in a United kit. And hopefully he just grows on from here, because those two in midfield, Paul Pogba, who, baby? Because I don't know. He might struggle to get back into the starting 11.
Sir, he's in training.
Play him at 10, actually. You know, that's probably where he belongs.
He's no longer trying out for NBA, sir. He's back in training. A few more points tactically. It was really the narrow pressing from United's forwards that messed up Spurs' attack. Dele Alli couldn't get going, and then Eriksen was ultimately brought in. But Rashford, Lingard, Greenwood, James all did great job pressing, and they were very narrow when they were doing so. United did lack the ability to create sustained chances, though. If you take Rashford out of the equation, most of our XG kind of disappear. Out of 20 passes from the top of the 18-yard box, only 2 were completed into the box. Spurs actually beat us on that stat, and that's one thing. It's about really the chance generation. We can go to the Aston Villa game where James was making all those crosses in, but no one was on the end of them. I just think we need a little more consistency in who we play up front, how we play up front, and we'll see a much better chance creation from United. But because you're throwing Greenwood in, James hasn't played with him, you know, in a big game like this. I'd like to see Greenwood to get more opportunities in the box, right? That's really what he's there for.
And he's a new Rashford, right? And another like young, phenomenal striker who is just breaking out. 18 years old. You have to remember how young he is. So he's going to get his chances. He'll grow with age. You know, he's got a long way to go. So I think he had a decent match, all things considered, and looked like he was been playing in the league for a couple of years now.
Yeah, and just a quick note, in the 87th, Ole did close up shop with the 5-4-1, moved Rashford to number 9. Classic smash and grab, great win for Ole. But remember, Tottenham have been struggling this year. They did get a bump from Jose Mourinho, but I would say City away is the true test for this squad. Can we put in a similar type of performance against City like we did against Tottenham? I mean, we don't necessarily need to win, but you know, can we really put in a good, convincing performance? The energy, you know, that our tactics are there to be seen. The consistency is key for me.
Yeah, no doubt. The consistency has been lacking all season. If you look at our performances, we've gone from playing great to all of a sudden playing like absolute shit. So this should certainly give the boys some confidence. You know, I think they played Spurs off the pitch. They're going to need to play even better against a much better City team. Obviously, City are not, you know, top of the league like they were last season, but they're still a very strong squad with a lot of...
they're decent. They got a few players.
They got some squad depth for sure.
They've been leaking at the back. So, you know, I think if there's a weakness, they've been laying up goals. So Marcus Rashford's hot going in, sir. Can wait till we get to the betting odds. But what do we know? Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for his post-match press conference on the victory.
Was that the best performance of the season so far? And if so, were you surprised maybe the levels? Because the levels were high tonight.
It's one of the best, yeah, definitely. We've had spells against Liverpool, spells against Chelsea, Leicester, of course. But the first 40 minutes were excellent today. But the reaction after they scored as well, I felt, was good. Start of second half, so that's... It's always a concern because so many times we've this season been winning, gone into a draw and then stayed at a draw. But they never gave in, trusted themselves, and I think we deserve to win.
The best performances have come against, as you say, Chelsea, Leicester, Liverpool. What's the reason behind the fact that you're so performant against the best teams?
There's many, many different reasons for how a game goes. But we've had players enjoying themselves tonight. That's definitely it's players taking people on. Sometimes it feels like maybe we haven't been good enough. We have to say we haven't been good enough breaking teams down when we've had 70-75% possession. But today was about 50-50. I don't know. But we had most of the ball first half. I thought some of the build-up play and the penetration we showed was excellent.
I would say I don't think the issue is us. We can't score goals. It's that we concede them, sir. Right? You know, we with Villa, Sheffield United. You know, we've been conceding.
Well, we've been conceding, but we also haven't been creating much. To be fair, so this is the first game probably since Chelsea where we were actually scoring. You know, creating lots of good chances. Strikers were challenging the keeper multiple times. He had to bring up a bunch of big saves in this game. So whatever was happening, it was working. I think, you know, having McTominay back in the team linked the defense to the attack. The fact that Fred started making forward passes for the first time I think we've ever seen unlocked their defense for sure. And Marcus Rashford is playing at a highest level probably in his career. You know, look at those goal stats in the last 10 games. He's been on fire. So he likes scoring against the big teams as well. So hopefully he can bring that fire to City on Saturday because that's as big of a match as you're going to see.
And you're not going to get too much out of Ole either way at a presser, right? He's and that's a positive. You go from Mourinho, who's just trolling you 24/7, saying that Manchester United's never won anything in Europe really anyway, going to Ole Gunnar, who keeps it pretty vanilla. So I think either way, win or lose, you get pretty, you know, cool, calm, collected from the manager. And that's good. I mean, he during all that scrutiny, he was able to batten down the hatches, survive the storm, get 3 points, live another day. Speaking of live another day, sir, let's check in with the Premier League table. Manchester United find themselves in sixth place, 21 points behind Wolverhampton Wanderers. We will meet them in the FA Cup away, sir. We do need to avenge that loss. 23 points. The Wolves are on Chelsea at 29. That's the mark to beat. We are 8 points off Chelsea, and they struggled against Villa too. They end up winning, sir. But, you know, they didn't look too hot. And Manchester City, 32, Leicester, 35, and Liverpool, 43 points. Sir, I mean, that Liverpool up there, that just kills me, huh?
Yeah, it feels like an inevitability this year. You know, without City chomping at their heels and having them, you know, inevitably blow it like only Liverpool can. It looks like it's theirs to lose for sure this year, you know, and they've gotten every freaking call, every VAR call this year has been, it's been unbelievable.
It's like conspiracy theory stuff, 30 years, but whatever. Yeah. Look, checking at 538.com, they kind of run the odds on who's going to win the league. They say Liverpool has 70% chance to win it. Man City 27% and Leicester 2. So despite Leicester's extra point,
you're saying there's a chance,
there's still a chance. Basically 29% chance Liverpool doesn't hoist the trophy. Again, they have to make it through the holiday period to really cement that gap. That gap can be marked back in any period. It would be the holiday period, sir. My favorite period of football. And for Manchester United, they do have the odds for top four, 8%. So you're saying there's a chance. Tottenham, 20%. Chelsea, 74%. Leicester City, 84% for top four. And City and Liverpool, 99% to qualify for the Champions League. 8% chance. We do lead Wolves at 4% and Arsenal at 3%. Do you make much of these predictions? I believe they had Hillary Clinton winning the 2016 election as well. So I'm not going to put too much stock in these numbers.
Let's not go there. But 8%, I mean, to be fair, feels about right. You know, maybe it's slightly higher. Maybe it's 20%, one out of five.
Well, you can't always, my point is you can't always trust the predictions, right? These numbers, like what is 8%?
They're just looking, really? at the stats and the performance and look at our track record this season. The fact that we're still 8 points off.
We could win the league technically, sir. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at. And they have a less than 1% chance for us to do that.
There you go.
Either way, how are you feeling about top four via the EPL? You think that's ship has sailed or has not?
Hey, I mean, it's only an 8-point deficit. You know, Chelsea could certainly slip up. I don't think anyone else above them is going to, but it's on us. You know, if we can, we have to be able to win against the lowly teams, and we haven't been able to do that. We haven't been able to get points against people in the bottom half
of
the table.
We
haven't been able to get wins on the road. We need to be able to do both those things if you're going to finish the top four. And if you don't do that,
Sheffield United, Aston Villa, Crystal Palace. The Crystal Palace was at home. Aston Villa is at home. Sheffield United away. Those games, top four. We're in top four right now. Pole position.
Same thing happened last year. All those points we dropped that we should have finished the top four. It's kind of the same thing happening this season. You know, I'm almost expecting us to get a win at the Etihad on Saturday because we seem to show up for all the big games. But like I said, you know, you only play the top six 12 times. You got to play the other 13 teams, 26 times, and that's when your bread is buttered. That's when you have to really earn your top four because you have to be able to break down the teams that are going to set up the defensive block.
3 points is 3 points. 3 points are up for grabs this Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific. Generous kickoff time. That's right. The Manchester Derby, sir. Manchester City versus Manchester United. Everyone always knows this match is on the calendar. Mark it down. We'll be having a few dark ales here in the podcast studio watching the match. How you feeling, sir? It's been a while since we pipped them away with Pogba's blue hair. That was a great match, right? That was a great game.
Yeah, I mean, we had to come back, claw our way back into that game. An unbelievable performance from the boys in the second half. I'm feeling much better than I would have if we had lost this game and Mourinho like started, you know, fist pumping in front of the Stretford end. So I'm looking forward to it. I think, you know, City are not at their strongest. They're vulnerable. We can actually get a result, and I think we got to bring it. I think the boys, if they show up like they did against Spurs, but they got to do it for all 90 minutes, I think we can get a win.
Yeah, I hate Pep Guardiola as well.
We know you do.
Don't
we
like City. Ederson, sir, are you a big fan of Ederson?
I love neck tattoos.
Yeah, I like, dude, the only player I really enjoy is Kevin De Bruyne. He's a great player. I'd love to have him on Manchester United. Swap him for Pogba, straight up. But he's injured as well. A lot of injuries for them. Jumping some history on the Manchester Derby, sir. The first meeting between these two teams occurred on the 12th of November in 1881 when St. Mark's West Gordon, who would later become Manchester City, hosted Newton Heath Railroad, who would later become Manchester United. The game finished 3-0 in favor of Newton Heath, and it was described by the Ashton Reporter as a pleasant game, sir. Pleasant win, 3-0. Easy as you like. And the first floodlit Manchester Derby, I thought this was really interesting, was played on the 26th of February in 1889. So they were doing floodlights for football in 1889 at the Bellevue Athletic Ground. Wells electric lights were placed around the ground, and a crowd of 10,000 watched Newton Heath defeat Ardwick. And Ardwick would eventually be Manchester City 3-2, and the match was played in the aid of the Hyde coal mining disaster. I looked this up. 27 miners died 7 miles outside Manchester, sir, during an explosion in a mine. This is why the game was played Nothing. I really get into football history, kind of nerdy. 1889. So they're like electric lights, like the brand new electric lights are out. You know, it's like playing football under the lights. That's great. Right?
Unbelievable. They've been playing the lights for over 130 years. It's unbelievable. So looking forward to the floodlights at the Etihad.
That should be commemorated in some fashion, sir. Like in some, you know, match program or something like that. You know, 130
years. Not the coal mine disaster. Let's not talk about that one.
No, but it was a benefit for the, you know, the families. And I think that using football, you know, can raise a lot of awareness and do a lot of charitable things, sir. Just like the Phil Jones testimonial match.
There you go. Looking forward to that.
Manchester City have won 15 Premier League matches against Manchester United, with 10 of those coming in the last 8 years, and they have been salty. Tough to take, sir. It was an easy match for Manchester United for so long. It's amazing how I viewed City when I first started watching Manchester United in, I want to say, 06, and then... Ooh, the Sven Jørn Eriksson coaching days, the 82s, it's a little different now.
You barely acknowledged them back in the day when we first started watching. Yeah, they weren't even a factor.
Then the Balotelli, why always me? I remember exactly where we were watching that game. Only Chelsea have won more against Manchester United with 18. And having triumphed 3-1 and 2-0 in last season's Premier League meetings, Man City can be the first team to beat Manchester United by at least 2 goals in 3 consecutive top flight meetings, since Liverpool did so 4 times in a row between 1978 and 1979. Again, we're due. City beating us both times. And I remember a lot of Otamendi goals in those matchups, and we could have done a lot better. I do recall that we did not play to our potential. And it's always been that way with this Manchester United side over the last couple of years, where you have a good game at home against Tottenham, and you really can create space with a big win against City away. And, you know, sometimes we have a hard time showing up.
Well, City's a lot better team than Tottenham, to be fair. So it's going to be a big challenge. Obviously, we're playing away. It hasn't been our forte this season. We have not played particularly away from Old Trafford. So the boys are going to have to play up to their potential and beyond, because we're going to need a big performance out of everybody.
I thought a little more history on the derby. The top goal scorers, I thought, was really interesting. Number one, sir, your man.
Who else?
Waza, Wayne Rooney, the White Pele, scored 11 goals in the Manchester derby. And then the next three top scorers, Joe Hayes, Francis Lee, and Sergio Aguero, all City players, 10, 10, and 9. Sergio Aguero is tied with Sir Bobby Charlton, and then right behind him, Eric Cantona with 8, sir. So some amazing names on the list, and Paul Scholes, the famous United midfielder, 7 goals in the derby, sir. So I thought some interesting stats. But Wayne Rooney, number one, he probably has the best goal scored in this match. Hopefully that gets done up by Marcus Rashford, sir, scorpion kick, something like that.
I'm about to say Marcus Rashford could join this list. He's got a couple nice goals against City, and hopefully he can put a couple more under his belt when we play them on Saturday.
So a key stat coming in here, Manchester United are unbeaten in their last 5 Premier League matches against last season's top 6 sides, winning 2, drawing 3, including all 4 matches this term. And that is kind of the question for Ole. Why can we get up for the big teams, but when it comes to the Aston Villas of the world, we're struggling? So I expect the boys to turn up. But when we talk about history and we talk about these two clubs, Manchester City gets talked about a lot. A lot of clout, a lot of money, sir. You got the Qataris in there. They've only won 6 leagues, 6 FA Cups, and they have no Champions League, European Cups or Champions League trophies. Manchester United, 20 leagues, 12 FA Cups, 3 European Cups, sir. I mean, come on. What are we really sweating Manchester City? We're not. We sweat in Liverpool, sir. At the end of the day, just remember, small club, sir. Small-time club.
And money can't buy class, right? You know, as much as they've been successful over the last recent history, It's an oil club. You know, they don't have the history we have. They aren't Manchester United. Manchester is red, will remain red for the foreseeable future. Liverpool, I'm worried about. They're back on top, and that's not what you want to see as a United fan, because they're a much noisier neighbor, you know, a little farther away, but they're the ones that have an honestly comparable trophy cabinet. Whereas City, it's all recent success.
So Liverpool, 2 leagues behind us, and I believe is a 2 or 3 overall trophies. So when it comes to the most successful team in English football, that is up for grabs if Liverpool can do the double or triple. And only 2 leagues in the form they're in, sir, if they can keep that team together, those things are within striking distance in the next 1 to 3 years. Manchester United really need to turn it around, because of all the things, like, I can let Liverpool win the league, but taking away the most titles, and the most silverware in English football. Those two titles I covet greatly, sir. That's the that's how I close all arguments.
I think most silverware is very close. I think with the Champions League title that they took home, I think they're right there.
It's one or it's I think it's two. I want to say two leagues and then maybe two or three on the overall. We'll when we play them again, we'll revisit those totals. I try not to think about it, sir, because it does make me a little nervous, you know. But they need three to beat us on the leagues.
But they have 30 years of doldrums, so. You know, it was inevitable they're going to turn things around. They seem to have people at the helm that know how to run a football club, to be fair. So I could use a director of football. We could take theirs.
All right, let's jump into Manchester United. Injuries per the physioroom.com. Eric Bailly, Foster Mensah out long-term, late December. Deleau as well. Matic, fitness test to get back. Marcus Rojo as well. Paul Pogba. Rumors of him maybe making it, but I think fitness is going to keep him out of the derby. And Anthony Martial, he got a slight injury on Sunday. He'll be out for a little while. No exact timing there. But Martial, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, always kind of here and there. The Frenchman who's made of glass, sir, given those injuries and the options you have for the squad, who do you think can make the starting 11? Remember, we played Tottenham, tight turnaround. The lads played pretty hard. You got to rest some players, right?
Absolutely not. Same starting 11. I'm going with David De Gea in the back. Back four of AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, Young, McTominay, and Fred back doing the job in midfield. Lingard at 10, and then James, Rashford, and why not Greenwood? Go up there, score a couple goals as the number nine against City. Make yourself a legend immediately.
All right, sir. I'm going to say Dave saves in net. Wan-Bissaka, Twanzebe, Maguire, Williams. You're seeing some rotation in the back four. We get McTominay, Matic, sir. Fred. Matic. Fred's going to play more advanced because he's going to have to be a little more defensive-minded. We're not going to go as full-bore attack as we did against Tottenham. We're going to do James Rashford and Martial. That knock Martial had, that's just undercover for Pep Guardiola. He's coming back in because he scored a hattie at the Etihad, sir.
Love it.
Booking the bookies, the most depressing part of this entire podcast. Manchester United to win plus 890. That's Oof. Some FC Astana stuff here.
I like it. I like those odds.
Manchester City to win minus 301. The draw plus 461. I'm putting money on Manchester United to win, and the draw will most likely lose it all. But at the end of the day, a win on the pitch or a draw on the pitch and then a win with my bookie would feel pretty fine.
I like the sound of that, sir. I've never seen these odds
for Manchester United.
They're absolutely ridiculous. Plus 890. You know?
PSG wasn't even this bad. We were playing in the Champions League final at their house, and we were never this. This is like a foregone conclusion, sir.
They don't rate us.
Plus 900. I mean, unbelievable.
Wouldn't have thought we just won.
All right. Score prediction, sir. I did have the 2-1 last week. What do you have for this match? What do you think?
Sir, I think it's going to be a tough fought match, and I think it's going to be more defensively minded than the game we saw against Spurs. I'm calling 1-0 off a penalty.
Didn't you predict us to lose to Spurs last week? I think you did.
No, I actually did not. I said 1-0 as well. Check the videotapes. Oh,
okay, I will. Videotapes, audio tapes. Sir, my prediction, man, I want a barn burner. I want some goals. I want some excitement. I like 3-2. A little throwback there. Paul Pogba, blue hair. I don't think he's going to get in this match. But, you know, who knows if I'm going to be buying you steak dinner, if you will play again. What do
we'll
you think?
I'm looking forward to that steak. I should make the reservation now because I'm pretty confident he's going to play again.
I think I owe you a steak, but he hasn't played.
Not yet, but he will.
He's not on the bench. And then, you know, Paul Pogba, who knows? Where the wind blows, nobody knows, sir. United in the news. Chelsea confident ahead of Sancho transfer battle with Manchester United. Per the goal.com, apparently Chelsea's in for Sancho. We got January transfer muppetry. Apparently he does not like it too much at Borussia Dortmund. He played at Manchester City. What do you think? Where is he going to go? You think we have a shot to get him at Manchester United?
I think it's big. You know, I think that it's big about where we finish and whether we end up qualifying for the Champions League or not, because Sancho wants to play in the Champions League. I think he's made that very clear. I think that's one of the reasons the transfer didn't happen last year. So if Chelsea pips us in top four, I think there could be legs in this. But, you know, I know we're willing to pay big money for him. I heard £100 million is the number being touted. I know he's worth it.
A little more.
We'll see. Upwards of £100 million. I think we can win the race for him, but I think we still got to finish in the top four. What do you think?
I think top four, really. It comes down to top four. Him on Chelsea with Pulisic and Abraham up top. That looks interesting. If Lampard is doing well, the team's doing well, I think that he's going to pick it based on that, really. No one wants to come to a Manchester United side to finish in seventh and maybe like get rid of a manager. It just kind of kills your team. You need momentum for signings. Like for a Sancho-type signing, you need Champions League football. You need momentum. We're fighting with momentum right now, and we're fighting for Champions League football. So who knows, sir? They said, you look at 538, says 8% chance we'll get UCL from the league. And I wonder what the betting odds are Manchester United to win the Europa League. You know, probably not too bad. Probably one of the favorites to win the Europa League. But those two odds combined, what are our chances? 15, 18% to qualify? Getting low. It's getting low.
Better after that Spurs win, you know, and a City win would go a long way as well. But we've got an uphill battle. But there's a lot of games coming up in December, and we could slowly, you know, claw back that kind of margin between us and top four. So we're, hey, sixth is better than where we were, ninth, 11th, wherever the hell we were, 14th at one point.
I try to forget the teens, sir. I just...
Second half of the table is never fun.
Anything below six, I just block it out. Next article, per top Talk Sport, proper bargain is the headline. Manchester United target Erling Haaland could be on the move in January for a bargain, $17 million. He has cup tied in the Champions League, and there has been rumors of us loaning the 19-year-old back. He did play for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Molde, so there is that connect. I do think if Ole, you know, is able to steady the ship, if you will, given all the pressure on him in the job, I think he can make the signing in January. But again, when it comes to Ed Woodward, I'm not confident anything happening in January. So how do you what do you feel about this?
January is always tough. I mean, I think there is kind of legs in the rumor of us buying him and then loaning him back, a la what Chelsea did with Pulisic last year. And also the fact that he has the connection, the Norwegian connection, you know, hobbits in brothers in arms in that regard. So
that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. They know each other. He would be wanting to play with Ole because Ole is a legend for club and country. So
you're the chief scout of the American Red Devils. How are the YouTube clips on Haaland, sir? Have you? I'm sure you watch hours of footage every night.
I've dissected him, you know, over the last couple of weeks.
What are his top qualities?
Strong player, you know, good finisher. Has a lot of size for his age, and I think he's just one of those players that's only going to get better. So if you add him to the crop of Martial, Rashford, and now Greenwood.
Looks like a beast.
He's a big boy.
On the that's the thing is, what like Lukaku wouldn't be terrible on United right now. You know, you look at Haaland coming in, and it's like, I'm not saying he's a Lukaku, but just having a unit to come in.
Size is helpful.
James crosses, like we were talking about last week. Yep. Lukaku would have been on those. It's you need to be able to play a few different ways. You know, like Zlatan coming in the team, you wouldn't think he would affect us as much as he did. But, man, he was great playing off him, getting into the box. Like, it just changes the game when you have a great goal scorer. I can see Haaland coming in doing damage for Manchester United. But, again, will Ed Woodward, you know, brick off that cash, sir?
Well, $17 million ain't much.
Is Santa Claus coming to town?
If there's any truth in the fact that he has a release clause that low, that's certainly the kind of money that Ole and co would be willing to spend on a player of his talent and his potential. But January transfers are hard to pull off. He might not be playing for us if we do sign him until next year anyway.
All right, next article. Per the Daily Mail, Real Madrid president Florentino Perez will only sign Paul Pogba for less than $50 million, sir. Way below Manchester United's $130 million asking price, despite Zinedine Zidane making the France star his top priority. Madrid are drowning, sir. Madrid are drowning, and you know, I don't put too much stock in this article, probably placed by Real Madrid. I do think they want Paul Pogba. Again, I think where Paul Pogba goes and what he wants, it's like the wind, sir. Nobody can predict it. And if Manchester United all of a sudden start playing well, Paul Pogba might be more keen to stay at Manchester United. And if he comes back into the team and I buy you a stick and Paul Pogba goes on a tear and Manchester United make top four, he'll probably stay. I think that completely dictates how the whole team's in the balance, right? The manager, a lot of these players and the transfers, you can't sign big players without Champions League football and without momentum and, you know, essentially knowing who the manager is going to be and what type of football you're going to play.
And that's why you don't fire your manager in November, because you got to see how the season plays out. There's so much season left to play.
We're close to Ole out last pod. We're very close.
We could be. We could be again. You know, we could have a poor run of performance, lose to Everton, who's now in the relegation zone coming up next week. So things change quickly in football, as we know. But I think, you know, steadying the ship ultimately was the right move. You stick with the devil you know versus the one you don't. And Paul Pogba, I don't even remember what he looks like playing for this team, bro. It's been so long. I think since September since he's featured. So,
hey,
long-term injury, another long-term injury. He's had a lot of them. But I think as number 10, he could do a job in front of Fred and McTominay.
Sir, I mean, you know, maybe Fred stole his job. Maybe we don't need Paul Pogba anymore. Apparently, that's what you think.
Did I say that? I think I said play him at 10.
I know, but before in the podcast, you said it's close. Look, transitioning to our next poll, we did tweet out again, are you Ole in, Ole out after that last match? And we can say Ole in 67% of the vote and Ole out 33% of the vote, sir. That was around 261 votes at the time of recording this podcast. So it is still going. But again, a clear swing in Ole out. Ole out was, I want to say, 65% in our last poll after that Aston Villa result. Clearly a lot of, you know, salt in the wound there because we did tweet it out right after the match. But again, there's that solid swing. Sir, that's like 30% plus swing there in that poll. If you think about the middle of the, there's Ole in hardcores for 30, Ole out hardcores for 30, and there's that middle sort of 35% kind of wishy-washy in between the two. What do you think of that? That's a big part of the fan base.
I mean, that's a big nature of kind of the current state of media, of news, of football. It's just that, you know, everything's so reactionary. We have instant access to all of a sudden 300 fans, ask them what they think, and they'll give you their take right away. So the polls are going to move based on recent performances. I think, you know, that's why
it's a big swing.
It is. And it shows that, like, it goes game to game and performance to performance, and everything is based on, you know, what have you done for me recently? So I would imagine that if we beat City, Ole in would tick up even higher.
Oh, yeah, he could hit 70s after that. And look, we're fans. We're just trying to give you the pulse on what fans think out there. And to think about the Ole out argument, you have to look at his record so far in the league, especially since he's been appointed permanent manager, has been abysmal. Like, we have played very poor, and he does have a very very young side.
He does.
Got rid of a lot of players. I mean, there's reasons for it, but it's like the fans are starving to see that improvement, right? Is Tottenham something we're going to build on and kick off on? It seemed to me everything built up to Sheffield United away. We bottled that. We bottled Villa. It's just, you know, that run that Ole had was pretty tough. And to come back with a ton of wins, convincing. We do have City on Saturday. I don't think a lot of fans are expecting too much from that. But if you want to check it into our next fixtures, this is the best indication of kind of what Ole has in front of him in December. After City, let's say we maybe lose this match per the bookies. Sir, given we're heavy underdogs there. AZ Alkmaar at home. I have to think we're going to win that. We have a relegation-bound Everton right now who just sacked their manager. I'm going to say we're going to win that. Then we have Colchester United in the League Cup, Carabao Cup. That was a great draw, probably the best draw in the whole group. And we're at home. We're going to win that. So we're talking three on a trot post-City. We got a weak Watford, Newcastle at home. We got a revenge when we got beat away. Burnley, sir. Then we play Arsenal on New Year's Day. So you're looking at six matches. If Ole can win these six, we're back in the mix. The City game is going to be tough to swallow if we get totally murked. But you look at those six wins, and then you have Arsenal, and then Wolves, FA Cup. Here's the real, this is why the footballing gods are cruel. Last year, Arsenal, we lost, and then we lost to Wolves, and that was the end of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's magical run, really, if you think about it. We're playing Arsenal on the 1st, and then Wolves on the 4th of January. That is really the crux of the biscuit, I think, for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and this season, if you think about it, right?
Well, the boys play Magic in December. They did last year for him, at least. So he went on that unbelievable run right after Mourinho got fired in mid to late December. So I think, you know, if we get a big performance against City, you could go on a run. There's a lot of winnable games. You can lock up the group, you know, handily. Colchester, you can move on to the semis in the League Cup. You know, you should be able to win against Watford, home against Newcastle. Burnley might be tough because, you know, on the road is always tough.
Burnley, sir, we got to win.
Sir, you
got to win. You can't make
it. You got to win all these games.
No, but my point is, the only reason we're talking about all these matches is that after the City game, Ole has a great run. So, like, if he was able, like, that's why this Tottenham City tight turnaround, he's so fortunate that I'm glad that he beat Tottenham, especially with Mourinho at the helm. Because he's not going to get fired for losing to City, and then he's going to get these next group of six matches, and he can do some damage. Five of six, we can win a lot. I mean, this can be really positive by the time we go into January, but his bread is going to be buttered against the Arsenal and the Wolves. Like, that's when we're going to see, okay, maybe Ole's at the wheel where Newcastle we win, Ole's at the wheel, Burnley we win, and then Arsenal, that's really where his money's made. And that's kind of where he has to prove that he can earn this job for Manchester United. And he needs to earn it by winning a trophy or getting to top four. Either or, in my opinion, he can stay.
I'm less worried about Arsenal. I'm more worried about the Watfords away. You know, teams that you should be handily beating in the relegation zone. Those are the ones that we haven't been able to come up with good performances. Yep. Teams that you should be beating, no questions asked, right? AZ at home. You never know. AZ is a tough team. They could bring a challenge that we don't expect. But you have to say, it's a good run of form, especially with Paul Pogba maybe coming back into the mix. Let's see how he adapts to this new team. But it looks fortuitous. If he can get through these two tough games, he can go on a run, and all of a sudden, he's back at the wheel.
So I guess what I'm saying is, as a fan, what do you need to see out of these next, like, barring City, the six games following? AZ, Everton, Colchester, Watford, Newcastle, and Burnley. If he doesn't win
five of six,
I would question the direction of the squad. And when I say question, I don't mean Ole out on Christmas. I mean, hey, maybe next year we need to bring in a Pochettino. I don't think firing the manager right now is going to make us a better team. Like, you look at Arsenal, it's not helping. We're not in a relegation battle. It clearly doesn't matter. I think Ole should, no matter what, be the manager the rest of the year, but I think he has to earn the job. Like, last year he got the job before he made top four. This year I want him to earn next year by winning a trophy or getting top four, whether, you know, whether Europa League or in the league, sir. He has to show results. We need results this season. And look, Sir Alex Ferguson, he had to win the FA Cup to keep his job. And I think at the end of the day, that's what's fair.
Hey, it might be the League Cup for him, right? So Colchester might end up being a big game. Like I said, Europa is one of our best chances for silverware as well. So AZ game is going to be big. But you got to be beating the Evertons, the Watfords, the Newcastles. Those are all going to be big matches. So I think December is going to be a pivotal month for Ole and his reign at United. And hopefully he can kind of, you know, harness some of that magic from last year over the holiday season when we looked so lights out and put a good run together. Because he put a good run together and all of a sudden we're nipping at Chelsea's heels and it's a different ball game.
So what's your standards for giving Ole another year? Is it just no matter what?
I agree with you. I like top four and or silverware. I think that's a great barometer for success. I think
Cup and eighth place.
No, I'm not going to say the eighth place.
I would say six. It has to be six or seven.
Six or
playing
better.
Well, finishing with some great games. You know, I would think that's kind of what I need to see from Ole to get another year. And maybe he'll get some signs in January as well. So you don't know.
Certainly deserves it. I mean, he was put in a tough spot, losing four players, not having them replaced. I think a League Cup, top six finish. I'd like it to be top four, but, you know, that will certainly...
Finishing strong. Like, we finished with a whimper last year. We need to finish strong this year. So, look, I think Ole's going to get time. Like, if you look at these matches...
He's got to earn it, though.
I'm glad that he kind of bought himself... That Tottenham game, he loses that Tottenham match, it loses City, he's probably out. He's probably, Ole's probably out. He wins Tottenham, buys himself more time. We can get to January, get some more players in. Let's see what we can do, sir. Look, Lundberg at Arsenal ain't doing great.
No, he's not. He's certainly not.
This whole idea of pointing X stars of your club, it seems to be in vogue. I've never seen that before in the English Premier League. Usually the managers don't coach their teams. Like, right. Giggs goes coach someone else, or Ole coaches someone else. It's to coach Manchester United, you usually got to work your way up, earn it. But now they're just giving it to Lampard. Earned it from Derby, though. I'll give him credit for that. I'll have to give Lampard a little bit of a nod. All right, jumping into fan questions here, sir. We tweeted out, get us your questions, comments, and banter for this podcast at Mike J. Bods with a Z on Twitter. Quote, the atmosphere was amazing tonight. Loads of support for Ole. Looked like we wanted it more from the start. Dan James charging around. Rashford with the skills. McSauce with the composure and grit. Great performance. Should have seen this United against Sheffield and Villa. Mike actually made the trip out. I'm going to say he is in the Stretford end there. Quality seats, sir. Probably in full voice. Nothing like seeing a big win at home against Tottenham.
It's nothing like it. There's nothing like going to Old Trafford under the floodlights, hopefully going to a pub beforehand and singing your hearts out with the fans. But that's something that you will never forget, especially after a nice win like we had.
Next tweet at MattFox722. Amazing game. Rashford is best. James did great coming back on defense. Missed McSauce terribly. Where did this Fred come from? Sir, that's your boy. Just so frustrating to watch the lads not be able to do this against lower clubs. We know they are more than capable. And that was a great point that was made in the post game. It just, look, Ole's got to get more from these players, more consistency, and they have the potential. Like, look at Rashford. He could score 30, sir.
I mean, in all competitions, you never know. He's on his way to becoming a hell of a player, you know, showing potential for years, and everyone's rooting for him, and he's finally kind of breaking into that star position. Earned his big contract last year, and you'd say deservedly so after the performance he's put in over the last 10 games. Hopefully he can kick on and get a brace against City and help us take the Blues.
Next tweet from Rojo Volante on Twitter, quote, frustrating, we can only turn up against so-called big teams. I like that so-called. The difference between tonight and Aston Villa at the weekend was stark, like two different teams. Why, sir? Why is it two different teams? We played at home both games.
Scott McTominay.
That's not a bad... It's not, like, and Rashford finally... Rashford on the left.
Rashford on the left, and the boys just showed up. They always show up for the big games, and I hate to say it, I think they know that, you know, a big team, it means that there's nowhere to hide. So they bring it all, and we need to do that week in, week out, because it's all about consistency. That's how you become a top club, and we just haven't shown it. There's been too much variability in our play week in, week out. So City is going to be a big test for us on the road. I'm feeling more confident than I was a couple days ago.
I would say we're a young team. You know, the reason why the difference is stark is we're a young team, and we can let Aston Villa get back in it easily by making mistakes. A lot of the issues we have are just mistakes, letting up goals, not being able to close things out. And so I hope we can build on this, get some more confidence, and really go into the City game. But you got to be able to do, like, when you say I'm worried about Watford away, you know, I think that's a riot, because at the end of the day, we got to smash Watford away like we're Manchester United. And Rashford looked like he believed it last night. You know, I thought Paris was the real breakout moment for him. The number nine left-hand side debate this year has been tough for him, right? Martial came in, played number nine. He's been put out on the left. He came in after Martial's injured, didn't really do a good job. So to have him, see him own the left-hand, own the left wing, I think that's where we should be seeing him from now on.
He's looking more and more like Ronaldo every week, bro. You know, he's starting to get that big jersey, the long sleeve. He certainly has a role model that he learned a lot from a young age. So hopefully he can, you know, just press on and get better and better, because we all think he can.
At Chuck Clark 13, quote, again, as you said on your last podcast, do we see actual improvement? I say, yes, we did. McTominay necessity. Fred jives with McSauce and has his best game. I think Greenwood adds such a great dynamic for the front. A freak show for defenders. I'm going to say that's what Chuck Clark was trying to say. Sir, what do you think about that tweet?
I mean, I think Greenwood offered a lot of pace and trickery. I think he's a player that is only going to be given more opportunities based on how confident he looked against Spurs. So certainly deserves the chance, because he is full of prowess, 18 years old, and is only getting started.
And at TCAR27, at Marcus Rashford's pen from North 3408, sir, made the trip from New York, inject us into my veins. Unbelievable. Another great showing from an American Red Devil making the trip across the pond. Picking a good match, sir. You know, Jack came early. We weren't able to go to Bournemouth away. Watch that 1-0 on the God. Rain. The 1-0 loss on the rain, sir.
Yeah, luckily, you go to that one, South Coast.
It wasn't meant to be, but we will be going. Sir, we're going to the reverse fixture, Tottenham in March, going to watch Tottenham.
It's going to lock down those tickets, sir.
It's going to be spicy. It's going to be spicy.
Can't wait.
At Marwan Mezer on Twitter, quote, hashtag Mourinho got his ass kicked. Love that. And then another tweet here at Sabres Car Guy 9 captioned this, LOL, and it shows Ole Gunnar Solskjaer rubbing Mourinho's hair. And I thought, Ole, that's a little too cheeky from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Why not? Mourinho would do it.
Act like you've been there before, nah, type of thing.
No, nah, it's Mourinho. If it was anyone else, it'd be one thing, but it's Jose Mourinho.
If Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was in the top four and didn't have to talk about his job at his last press conference, I would say him rubbing his hair was probably merited, but that's a little much.
He's got some swagger. I like it.
It's out of... Ole, keep it classy. Keep it classy, San Diego. Come on. That's what I think.
I don't think it's that bad.
You know, I don't know. It's a little cheeky. Little cheeky. You like that at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
I like it. I like it. It shows that he's, you know, feeling full confidence and showing that, like, I pipped Jose Mourinho in his own game, you know,
Tacted the tactician, sir. All right, jumping to housekeeping. Great podcast at Oscar_Castillo and at Julie Braithauer on Twitter. Both win American Red Devils t-shirts because they predicted the score and the first goal score for Manchester United, 2-1. Marcus Rashford, we have the logo tees. We'll be following up with you guys on Twitter. DM us or email us, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We will send you the free t-shirt and enjoy it, sir. We'll be doing this more often throughout the season as we have a ton of shirts to give away because we didn't get the right printing down. Because we have such high quality standards here at our online store, www.americanreddevils.com. Click on store. They're like 95% there. No one ever noticed. But, you know, we have high standards for the merch that we do deal. And we actually kind of got to get going. A lot of people have been requesting, you know, some different badges. I like the, you know, the badge crest would be great. You can iron on to like a jacket, sir. That'd be pretty fire. Some hoodies as well. We'll be building it out. But as you know, I just had a son, so I don't have a lot of spare time. The fact we're even doing the podcast right now, and my wife hasn't murdered me, is a positive, sir. The pod never sleeps. We're just two guys. We don't have anyone running social media. We don't have anyone.
No interns.
Us out.
We got no interns. We have a bunch of staff.
We have a bunch of friends who just give us talk smack about Manchester United more. Now that we have a podcast, so the fact that we show up week in, week out, that's the best we can do, sir. We have a room dedicated in your house.
We're doing our best.
As well, the podcast bunker. But look, we appreciate everyone who listens to the pod. Without you guys, there would be nothing. And you know what? If you want to support us, there's tons of different ways you can buy a shirt in the store. Tons of Glazers Out merch, sir. But you can also just drop a review on iTunes. We're number one rated Manchester United podcast on iTunes. It means a lot to us because it came from you guys. 200 plus reviews right now. Most five stars, sir. Some people don't like too many sirs, but you know, you can't do much about it. You gotta own it. You gotta be like Gareth Bale. You got to be like Gareth Bale.
Just own it.
Sirs. Manchester United, sirs. And then Madrid at the end, right?
In that order.
If you have not seen that flag picture with Gareth Bale with golf, was it Family Golf Madrid? No, Wales Golf Madrid in that order. That flag, it was pretty cheeky. And when he ran out for a warm-up, everyone booing him. But he just had a big old grin, sir. When you have haters, you just got to smile like Gareth Bale on the touchline.
Why not? He's getting paid enough.
Yeah, getting paid that type of money and trolling everyone. Apparently, Marcelo gave him a golf club at their holiday party as well. I thought that was pretty cheeky. Regardless, just want to say thank you, sir. Let's jump into the downloads. Last 7 days, sir. Top cities here coming at you. Florida leading the list, sir. Jump in.
Number one, Jacksonville, Florida. How you doing? Number two, Hotlanta, Georgia. And number three, Markham, Canada. What's up?
Canada. Maple syrup coming at you. Seattle, Washington, New York, San Francisco, sir. Finish us up on the list.
Number seven, Dallas, Texas, Brooklyn, New York, Houston, Texas, and last but not least, Chicago, Illinois. Appreciate all the downloads.
Chirac.
Another great week. Can't help yourself, can you?
No, I can't. I have to do it every time. If you said Chicago, I didn't say Chirac, people would ask questions.
They would.
Look, I am definitely sleep deprived. We're doing our best, bringing as much energy as possible. I am very excited to watch the derby with you on Saturday. I'm a little nervous because, you know, Manchester United, they pull you back in, sir. They pull you. You got the Tottenham
win. It's a lot of ups and downs. It's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster being a fan of this team.
We got the Tottenham win. Always at the wheel.
Get trounced like 4-0.
Always at the wheel. How good is the field? He kicked in the nuts. Nope. Kicked in the nuts.
He hasn't. If we win against City, we'll play Always at the Wheel at the end of the pod. But right now, it's still kicking a blue.
Sir, there's only one song we play at the end of the podcast for a match like this. It's the song we play most at the end of the podcast because we hate Manchester City, sir. There's plenty of songs that we could talk about of why, you know, the stadium's never full, sir. You know, Neil Gallagher, don't like him either. That guy is a chump and a half, like a big City fan. Total plastic club, sir. Lots of things. We go on and on all day, all goddamn day.
Don't get him started.
All goddamn day. But I do know, sir, as always,
kicking a blue.